And for my first question for you, Jeff, never had you on the show before, but what's Vicious Rumors currently have going on, and talk about the current happenings within the band right now.
Well, hey, man, it's great to be on your program. Thank you so much. And, yeah, you know, Vicious Rumors has just been, you know, we're about to celebrate our 40th anniversary next year. It's like us, Pink Floyd, and the Stones. And it's been an honor, and we've just been fortunate enough to survive the test of time and surround ourselves with good people, and it's just a life's work at this point. We recently did the Bang Your Head Festival last summer, and we've done some West Coast touring in the United States, from Los Angeles to Seattle on the West Coast. Basically, we're writing for a new studio album, but when 2018 came around, and you know, we reminisce about Digital Dictator and that time of the band, it just seemed, you know, we've been asked to do it for many, many years. I mean, like, for years I've had people asking me about doing like a special Digital Dictator show or tour or something like that. And so back then, you know, when Digital Dictator came out, we hadn't really begun the heavy touring yet. We were just starting. So we probably did, you know, a handful of tour dates and maybe a couple of festivals. But, you know, the 30th anniversary of Digital Dictator is going to see the band on tour for over three solid months and up to maybe 70, 75 shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff, let me ask you this, because obviously the Digital Dictator album, to me, is a very monumental heavy metal album. And one of the things that I think is great, it was so refined in comparison to the first record. And I have to ask you, what are some of your best memories of making Digital Dictator, since we're celebrating the 30th anniversary? Maybe talk a bit about the memories and some of the stories you have about recording that record.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a time where we had when Carl Albert first came into the band, and also, you know, that alone made it so historic, because he was just such a special singer, had such an incredible tone and vocal ability. You know, we saw him in Villain and the Ruffians, and I just always was like, my God, that guy is just, if I could just get that guy, you know? And when Gary St. Pierre was sort of leaving the band, I had heard that Carl was available and was not in a band right now. So it was the timing somehow just got lucky to even get him interested. A former bandmate went down and met him and gave him the Soldiers of the Night album, and he got back to us and said, I really like the music, maybe I could sing something to this. And then we got together, and like the first thing that came out was Digital Dictator. That was the very first song we wrote together, with me, Mark, and Carl. And also another big change was Vinnie Moore was sort of always more into his, he wasn't really at that time, he was really focused on being like his own kind of guitar hero guy. He wasn't really looking for to be part of a team or part of a band. And you know, I've always been sort of real band oriented, real trying to get, you know, chemistries that work, you know, very well together. And then when Mark McGee came in, he also, in my opinion, is equally as much of a virtuoso, maybe even more versatile, because Mark will blow your mind, can play like any style you can imagine at a very top quality level. But, him and I had a very good chemistry together, and the songwriting was myself and Mark and Carl with Larry mostly. And, man, it was a special time. you know, the thrash metal thing was really blowing up in the Bay Area, you know, and, you know, it's funny, like back then, I think, you know, we were just a bunch of local bands, you know, the local bands just happened to be Metallica, Testament, Death Angel, Exodus, Vicious Rumors, you know, and bands that still work today. And, you know, I don't think any of us would have known. Metallica, of course, is an exception to the rule since they're the biggest band in the world now. But, you know, for the rest of us, I think, you know, we just thought we were a local band and in a local scene and really didn't even realize that the whole world would look to the Bay Area at that time for this style of music. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Vicious Rumors at the same time was a little bit on the outside of that. You know, we were kind of a little, we always had, our thing was just being an overall great band. You know, we were, we wanted to have, you know, great vocals and harmonies and dynamics and, as well as some of that thrashy kind of aggression and stuff. So we were a little different from all those bands. But yeah, it was a very special time. It was, we had a great chemistry, and I'm really proud to be on a record like that, and to have been inspired at that time to make that music and write all those songs with the guys. You know, Larry and I are still going strong all these years. We lost Carl, so that doesn't really count. You know, we still got his spirit, so that's 3 out of 5 original guys, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And we got a great new guitar player, Gunnar DeGrace, just a virtuoso, unbelievable, talented player, nailing all the Mark stuff and adding this, like, fusion-y, like, just out-of-this-world guitar playing. Him and I have really bonded in the last year and a half, and got a really great show planned, and really just excited to go out and celebrate this record with everybody and really expose that album to a whole new generation.
Now that you're celebrating the 30th anniversary of this record, do you have any plans for any kind of, let's say, reissue of the album?
Well, yes, the album is already, it's already been reissued. It's available through The Orchard. And The Orchard had purchased the rights from Shrapnel Records, so the album is out. It's available. You know, Vicious Rumors is has a record contract with SPV, Steamhammer in Germany, and we're super happy to be on Steamhammer, and you know, we're like a we've got a great relationship with them. And even Steamhammer thought this was such a good idea that they're completely behind us touring, even on another album, you know, on another record company's album. So that gives you the kind of idea of the support we have from Steamhammer. So, yeah, man, it's the album's out. The album's available. We do have a very special live DVD that's going to be available at the tour dates, and through our website. And it's very cool. It features the band performing in front of about 20,000 people at the Bang Your Head Festival. Mm-hmm. A multi-camera, 18 to 20 camera shoot, this top quality mobile recording truck. I mean, it's the best live thing we've ever had as far as quality, visual, and audio. So that is going to be available starting on August 31st at our first show.
You know, Digital Dictator is a great album. And I'll tell you what, the debut album, you know, even though the songs weren't as refined as Digital Dictator, the debut album, Soldiers of the Night, I mean, I thought you and Vinnie Moore put on this guitar playing clinic on that record. And it was a bit more raw, had a different singer. But, you know, talk about your debut album as well, you know, because I've always loved, you know, the guitar playing on it. And it's still, in my opinion, a pretty good record for its time, at least.
Yeah, well, you know, we started out, you know, doing, you know, the Metal Mondays in the Bay Area. And we met Mike Varney of Shrapnel Records. And we were, you know, one of his early signings. And at the time, I was sort of rebuilding the band, and Mike introduced us to Vinnie Moore. He actually sent me three tapes of guitar players. One of them was Vinnie Moore. One of them was Joel Holmes, who ended up in Ozzy. And another one was, who was the third one? I'll have to get back to you on the third guy. And, you know, all three of these guitar players they sent us, any one of them would have been amazing. I mean, they were that good. But we just really thought Vinny's was, you know, had just something that we all did. Let's try this guy. But oddly enough, Vinny never really played any shows with us. We made the record together, and then he kind of realized, like, that, you know, he wanted to just be like a kind of a guitar guru guy. And so we didn't quite have the chemistry on that album that we had on Digital Dictator as a unit. But, you know, since it was our first record, I mean, it takes you 15 years to do your first record, and then you got to do your second one in, you know, 6 months, at least back then. But, Larry and I had songs ready for the Soldiers of the Night album, and, you know, we really featured Vinny a lot, kind of as we kind of thought maybe he was going to stick around for a while. So he's really featured on that album. And that also is, these albums are kind of like, with the amount of energy and effort that goes into each one of them, we're about to record our 14th album. And, you know, you leave a little bit of your soul in each one. So it's like, I'm just proud to have done the work I've done. And, when I talk to other artists and they tell me that, you know, those early albums really influenced them and it meant a lot to them, and when I hear it from the fans, it always means the world to me. And I'm just thankful that Larry and I are still healthy enough to do this. And we've got a great band right now. Terrific band. And we're firing on all cylinders, my friend. And I hope to see you, and then a lot of VR fans come out to the show, man. We're gonna have a heavy metal party, old school style.
Now I'm gonna fast forward just a little bit. I want to talk a bit about the Warbell album, because after Word of Mouth came out, you know, then obviously Carl, you know, died and everything like that. You know, you guys were really still trying to find yourselves, but something came together on the Warbell album. And what was it? Because Warbell was a great record, and I think it started a string of pretty solid releases by you. And talk about what happened when that album came out, because all of a sudden, you guys just took a big leap in songwriting and everything, and really have put out a very good string of albums.
Well, you know, there was a big gap in between Warbell and the album before that. And, when you've had a band together, going on 40 years, that's just doing anything in life for that long. You better be ready to roll with some changes, you know, from health issues to business issues to, you know, births, deaths. I mean, you know, we've seen it all. And at that point, I was just like, man, I never want to let a 5-year gap go by again. You know what I mean? I'm just like, life is too short. Life is too valuable. And I just, whatever I can do to keep the energy going, to keep the creative, the creative writing, to keep the creative thinking and the moving forward going, I'm going to do it. And, Warbell was really just, for me, like a return to, like, you know, I don't care what year it is, you know, I don't care what, preconceived notions somebody might have or some label someone wants to put on me. The best records I did were records that I just did it from my heart. I did what I was feeling. And so Warbell was definitely a return to the power of Vicious Rumors, not being influenced by any major record companies or the changing of the guard of music or anything like that. And since we're, and I really appreciate your kind words there. Thank you. Because we really put a lot into every studio album. Everyone before Warball and after, but since Warball, it's been something that we just fought tooth and nail to still be in the game, to still keep the Vicious Dreamers, to still keep the quality at a high bar. And, you know, luckily I've been surrounded by some great musicians, and I have a great producer that I work with, Juan Ortiaga. He's worked with Machine Head, Ted Nugent, Night Ranger, Death Angel, everybody. You know, he's just an all around incredible engineer and producer. And him and I have done every album together since Warball. So Juan is also a very big part of that Vicious Rumors Insurgents. And, you know, I still love it. And that's the whole thing, man. I'm having fun with it. I still love going on tour. I still love playing the music, making the records. And, you know, I've been very lucky to do it and have a record contract for more than 3/4 of my life.
Now, you touched upon something pretty cool, and that was the you talked about the Bay Area, and even though Vicious Rumors was a much different type of band than like Metallica and Testament and a lot of those bands that were coming out of that scene, I think you guys, you know, obviously were a part of that. And what, you know, going back in time, what was it like to be a part of a big movement that was happening at the time? And, you know, talk about your memories of coming up through that whole music scene.
It was really exciting. I mean, at that time in the Bay Area, there was like six, maybe seven great venues just in San Francisco that had like live music Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, and there was an incredible scene to support it. It was a super exciting time because you got to remember that the Bay Area is also a place that, you know, it's not the first time that's happened in the Bay Area. In the 60s, you know, they had a sort of a explosion of new music with Jefferson Airplane and all that, all those old time bands. Then even before that, with the jazz scene, like the beatnik scene. So the Bay Area is kind of a special place. It happened again in the 80s with thrash and power metal. And we were lucky to be part of it. It's kind of a special place. It was an incredible time. And one of the things I remember back then is like you could never outdo the audience as far as like heavy metal fashion. It was funny, man. It was like no matter how many like spikes or black leather or whatever you had on or whatever you were wearing at the time, you could never outdo the audience. Like there was just people in the audience that would just always dress so great. The girls always wore these rock outfits, and everybody was. People were just way less jaded and didn't feel like they, you know, they were just happy to be there almost. The scene was so strong that it almost didn't matter who was playing.
Right.
That's how strong the scene was.
Right.
Like people would just go and they would have a great time. And maybe one of those big bands was playing, maybe not. It almost didn't matter. But, yeah, it was a fantastic time. And, yeah, those were the days, buddy. Those were the days. But there's still lots of great metal to come.
And it was pretty crazy, too, because, you know, you had such differing thrashings at the time. You had, obviously, the Bay Area scene, but you also had the, you know, East Coast scene with bands like Anthrax and Overkill. Then, of course, you know, you go to Germany with Creator, Destruction, and Sodom and all that. And it was pretty awesome. And at the same time, it was great to see how differently all of those scenes basically evolved.
It is, yeah, you know, definitely. And, you know, Germany experienced a similar thing with, like, you know, Creator and Destruction and Running Wild, Sodom, and, you know, those bands all still work today, too.
Right.
So it's really incredible, man. And, you know, I'm actually talking to you from Germany right now. And, you know, whenever I you know, see Schmear from Destruction or Millie and, you know, Creator at gigs and festivals, you know, like there's a lot of mutual respect. I've been on the guest list for Metallica over here the last few nights. I went and saw them in Stuttgart a week ago, and I'm going to see them next Thursday. They still are very gracious to me, and you know, it's just an honor, man, to be. In a way, I almost feel bad for like new metal bands that are trying to make it work. I think it's so much harder for new bands, even though they have this. You know, if you're a master at social media, you know, then that's an incredible tool for a new band to get popular. But just when I, you know, I'm just thankful that I'm part of a band that has a backbone that stretches back 40 years that people still can relate to.
Well, one of the things, though, too, is that, you know, you talked about Death Angel, and a lot of those bands that came out of that scene, you know, many of them are still around and are putting out, in my opinion, better music than they did back in the day, and they're putting out such great records, and that started about 10 or 15 years ago. And why do you think things have happened that way? Why do you think these bands are putting out some of the best stuff that, you know, they've ever put out?
Well, you know, I think as an artist, if you're working at your craft year after year and you're taking yourself seriously, as far as like being healthy and trying to, you know, pushing yourself to do something cool, I believe that everyone gets better, you know. I mean, especially if, you know, you have some success. So, I mean, I really think the answer to that, and I have to agree with you too. I mean, some of the last works of Exodus and Death Angel to me are their best things. And of course, you know, they have the classic stuff that's sort of like its own, you know, just the stuff like, you know, the early albums, there's classic stuff that you always remember. And when you hear it, it's always fun. Mm-hmm. And that just makes their new music kind of stand out that much more too. Mm-hmm. So I think just as an artist, you strive to get better. And all the bands we mentioned have very serious musician types in the band.
Right.
You know, that are working very hard to keep this kind of quality and keep this kind of level.
Now I want to talk a little bit about Carl Albert. Obviously, you know, one of my favorite singers, probably one of the top 10 people that really inspired me to sing, Jeff. And, you know, everybody knows him as a singer as far as his voice go, but what kind of person was he? Maybe talk a bit about Carl Albert, the person that many of us may or may not know, and you know, give us some memories of Carl and his personality and just what he was like as a person in a band with you guys.
Yeah, well, I tell you, he was an incredible entertainer, and like he was just a guy that was the life of the party but wasn't trying to be the life of the party. You know, that's like a really good way I could say it. He just had an incredible charisma about him. You know, I don't know. He was like he was a magnet for like women and animals. It was weird. I would always see like a bunch of girls around him and a couple dogs and a few cats circling him. Like, I don't know what it was about him, man. But he was just a very, very funny guy. And you know, it always cracks me up when I see and I meet certain singers that have this super attitude. You know what I mean? Like they're so cool or whatever like that.
Right.
And like Carl's voice, you know, and I'm talking about guys that couldn't touch what Carl could do vocally. But Carl never came off like that to people, man. He was just a very genuine person and a very fun. Very funny sense of humor, and it was an honor to have him as a friend, let alone one of the most incredible singers in heavy metal before, during, and after his death, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
It was, and he, you know, it's funny. He had like a real heavy asthma kind of conditions. And when we first recorded Digital Dictator, it was at Prairie Sun Studios, which is in the middle of this giant field in Northern California. And I didn't even really realize, I didn't think about it. You know, it was just, that's just where Shrapnel did all their albums. So of course they booked us there. And I remember when he showed up that day And he's like, Jeff, you booked the recording in the middle of a hayfield. And I was just like, oh God, what I do? But of course, you know, he just rose above it and figured out a way. But a really funny guy, and he was one of those guys that would record something incredible on the album, and then when you saw him live, he might take one of the same parts and just do something even more outstanding. Instead of something easier live, he might do something even more incredible.
Great.
So, and he was also a little son of a bitch sometimes, I gotta tell you. Some of those guys, like, he was hard to get mad at. You know what I mean? It was like, sometimes it'd be like, maybe he's late for something really important, or, you know, just something, you know, something kind of trivial. Like, you want to get mad at him, but just had a way of, like, he was very hard to get mad at. But he was a badass. That's all I can say. He played guitar, keyboards, harmonica. He started off as a guitar player and in his band in Modesto, and they were looking for singers. Couldn't find a singer, and then like one day he's just like, oh, you know what, I'll just give it a try. And then he started singing, and like everyone in the room was just like, what the hell, what have we been looking for a singer for, you know? So he's just a real natural too. He wasn't a guy that had to try or to warm up, or I mean, he did a little bit, but I mean, he just, it was so ridiculously easy for him. And that was annoying too sometimes. But he was a fantastic guy, man. And I could probably go on and on if I sat here and thought of a bunch of Carl Albert stories, some not suited for all audiences.
So how would you compare some of the new songs you're writing for your next album compared to, say, the last few records that you've put out?
Going really good. I really like working with Gunnar. I think like him and I probably have the best chemistry we've had in Vicious Rumors since Mark McGee and I. And but Gunnar also comes from a little darker place than Mark came from. Mark is super melodic and versatile and can play like any style and stuff. But you know, Mark sort of prefers a little bit more of this melodic edge and like female vocals and stuff like that. Whereas Gunnar kind of comes, you know, he's young, you know, he's not even 20 years old yet. He's about to be 20. He's just like this virtuoso who that comes from a bit of a heavier, darker background. He has you know, his type of music that he writes is like this technical death metal stuff. And so I'm really looking forward to putting his aggression and his sense of musicality. He's also incredible with the harmonies and just very creative. He's always sending me like, hey, I came up with this part today, and like sending me this stuff. I mean, it's just like, man, I remember when I was 20, man, Jesus. You know, he's on fire. So I think if him and I together, you know, like I'm kind of bringing like the big time choruses, the classic arena Vicious Rumors sound, and then we're mixing it with some of his really intense riffs and licks, and it's going to be a badass album. It's going to be another chapter in Vicious Rumors moving forward, and but at the same time, you'll hear, you know, any album that has my writing and singing and Larry's drumming and singing on it is going to sound like Vicious Rumors. But it's what we're doing together now is moving forward in the classic style of the band, but 30 and now 40 years later. So I think it's I can't wait to finish it up and get it out. Right now we're going to celebrate the rest of this year with the Digital Dictator tour, and it's just growing. It started out being 20 shows here and 15 shows there, and now it's up to I believe it's over 45 shows in the U.S. and Canada. Mm-hmm. And up to 20-25 shows in Europe. So we have a monster schedule ahead of us, and you know, we've still got a ton of great music to make. I'm just when I think about all these years, and I'm just been incredibly fortunate, incredibly lucky to work with great people and to continue doing what I love to do, and have support like I have with friends, family, record company, and the heavy metal legion around the world.
So what are some of your memories playing here in Cleveland, which is where I'm from?
Oh, man, we had some great shows in that area, in that state. We met some very cool people, had a lot of fun. I'm pretty sure Mark has a couple of illegitimate children in that area. there was a club called Flashes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's still... Do you ever remember hearing about that?
It's been gone for about 20-some years.
Okay, so you knew about it then, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm right in that regard. That's good. And that makes me feel good. I can still remember that. We played there a few times. The last time we were in that area, we played Ripper's Club. And I can't remember exactly what city that was in.
It would have been Akron.
I think it was. Okay. And so, I just remember when we played Ripper's Club, we had people show up with pictures of us from 20 years ago, with me and them. And it was funny because I usually look great still, but them not. So, I'm just playing with you, Betty. You still there?
I'm here. I can hear you.
Okay. But it's just incredible, like when you go and you hit cities like and towns and that you played in the past, and people show up and remind you when you were there last time, and they're ready to see you again. And sometimes they bring in their kids this time, or their younger brothers. And so, man, I don't know. I don't have a lot of gory details, but I'll tell you, a lot of great rock and roll fans out that way, and I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody again in September, October.
You know, you're mentioning a lot of you mentioned some kids, and, you know, I see a lot of younger kids in high school coming to a lot of these metal shows. It's like that whole genre has just hit a whole completely different generation of people now.
It's true, you know? I mean, I think when I was a kid, you never liked what your parents liked, you know? But, you know, that's because it was like Led Zeppelin and Frank Sinatra. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but I think nowadays it's a lot different. You know, a lot of young people I find, I've been seeing more and more young people searching out for older music because they're unhappy with the choices they have today. So that's kind of refreshing to me. And also makes me feel like that's great that a new generation can discover it. That's kind of a little bit of what's going on with the Digital Dictator thing, you know? We see that all the time where fans and friends that we've made throughout the years come back with their nephews or their kids or, you know, their younger brothers, and, you know, I welcome it, man.
Jeff, any last words for the fans that are going to be checking out this interview on my radio show in about a week or two?
Hey, well, I'd just like to thank you personally for having me on the show, and let everybody out there know, man, that Vicious Rumor is going to give you 100% every night on the tour. Come to as many shows as you can. Let's celebrate heavy metal to the fullest.